Blog Talk Radio.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly feels to stand outside your virtue. No one can ever you, or so they say. Her name is Alice. She climbs into the window, shapes the shadows. Alice. And even though she's dreaming, she knows.
Sometimes the curiosity can kill the soul.
Shinedown singing Alice. Her name was Alice. Shinedown was an American rock band out of Jacksonville, Florida, formed in 2001 by lead singer Brent Smith after the breakup of his band Driv. The band members are Brent Smith, Zach Myers, Eric Bass, Barry Kurtz, Jason Todd, and Brad Saver. They're considered a heavy metal or a hard rock band. They recorded out of Atlantic Records, Roadrunner Records, and Warner Music, the labels. I'll give a shout out to one past member, Nick Perry. Also, some consider them, or ask if they're a Christian band, because they don't curse in their lyrics or live. You know, they got a great sound. If you haven't heard it, Shinedown. Take a peek at them on YouTube, or go buy a CD. Well, welcome back, my friends, to another show that never ends. Or I pretend. See, I blew it, Deb. Tonight we have a picture a prompt with a word bank Deborah Lee, and we are all writing to one picture, right, Deb? Which we used to do.
Yep. One lonely picture.
Yeah, we get to see. I like to do it once in a while just to see the different angles to the same picture. It sort of shows the more of the creativeness of each individual. We don't do it much, but I've been bugging Deb to do it, but she did. Thank you, Deb.
My
Jay
pleasure.
Hatter, your host. Jay Hatter, your host for the night. And Deb generally does all the heavy lifting in the back, so I can sit out here and look at the tree. I see we have one caller on the phone. Do we know who 949 is?
I do. That's Violet. Violet.
I'm Violet.
Like Violet or blue.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. Hi, Violet. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm okay.
Doing well. Glad you're here.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. That was a weird picture. The picture prompt. There are some hidden things in that. I hope everybody saw that. In sort of a faded double image of the background. There's some pictures. I wonder if everybody else saw what I did. And I was proud to say that Deborah, I did do the right one, and I got the word bank in 12 words. Go figure.
I know. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I usually don't, not that I don't have the willingness and the creativeness to do it, I just really sometimes just don't have time. I'm still battling the post-surgery blues, but that's another that will heal itself eventually, I hope. So what's the weather like where everybody else is? Yeah, Violet?
It's pretty hot. Yeah, I'm in California. I think it's like 75 right now.
I don't know. I'm from California also. I'm in sort of just west of, just east of Sacramento. And we had, triple digits. Yeah.
Okay.
We had triple digits yesterday.
Wow.
We had 95 at the morning. Are you further south?
Yeah, I'm in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Orange County. Yeah, that's way south.
Yeah.
By the beach. I'm by the river in the mountains. Any type of fire, there's a fire or a flood, I'm right here next near it. Seems like.
Oh, wow.
Well, you guys have them down there every year, too. So, Santa
yeah,
Ana winds
flood
and such.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. The fire burns all the plants that holds the soil, the mud from up on the hill, and then the next winter, it's got a wet winter, slides, you got wet slides.
Yeah, we get a lot of fires here, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. I heard you guys lit up the other day. I don't know where it was at. Is that a Barbara? No, maybe not.
I think it was, in
there.
L.A.
Okay, was it? Yeah, we haven't burnt anything up here, but we've had 2 years of some terrible fires. The Paradise Fire last year and the year before was Santa Rosa, two communities that were basically wiped out. And our loss of life was a little sad. I don't know what this year's going to be. Seems like another dry one. We'll have to see. Well, Violet, did you bring Hatter presents? That's poems.
I did. Let's see.
Okay, cool. Are you in a hurry for a time at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll go first. So we've got a lot of people here. That way, though, we can hear.
So I know you got some facts about what kind of stuff is happening today and all that kind of stuff that you want to share, Hatter.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Today, I did look it up, but boy, I can't figure it out. Today is, I have this calendar where I select what national day it is every day. June 2nd is National Rotisserie Chicken Day, or National Rocky Road Day, because of the ice cream. The National First Ladies Day, who creates this list, I don't know. National Leave the Office Early Day, and National Running Day. That was today. What we should be doing is looking at tomorrow's, right? Because you've already done this one, or you experienced it. I'll have to check that out. On this day, I have no idea what's happening. I didn't look that up. Tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow so you know what to do. Tomorrow, June 3rd. June 3rd, the year 2021 under the Lord. Halfway done. Half the year is halfway over. Tomorrow, June 3rd, is National Egg Day. National Repeat Day. And National Chocolate Macaroons Day. Okay. The important stuff comes out. Yeah, do you make macaroons? Isn't that coconut?
I do, yeah. Do you?
I'll expect some, not this macaroons, but next.
Remember Chuck the Chick?
Yeah.
For a while, she was helping out one of her friends who was starting a new business, and it was a bakery. And while she was helping them get their store open and whatnot, she also learned how to make macaroons.
I remember that.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder how that, what if they survived the attack of small businesses?
I don't know. And she lived on a different coast at the time, so I don't know if she, like she's, yeah, she's on the East Coast now, and when she did that, she was out on the West Coast.
Oh, the West Coast. So let me ask you a quick question. Do you think California should be split up in a couple states?
I always kind of thought of that because it's so huge and like you're so far away from me, like Sacramento's so far, so I feel like it should be two states.
Yeah, I agree. I think most of Northern Californians would agree with that. Two or three, we could do three real easy, kind of central and north south. But yeah, I think it's time we should do that. So
yeah,
I can count on your vote, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Today in history, I just thought. Oh man, we go to the sites now that you start looking through. You see something that also the menu comes up. You gotta sign up, register, or you can't look at it. Okay, today in history, Babe Ruth retires in 1935. Wow. 714. George Herman Ruth was born in 1895. The Sultan of Swat, Roman Catholic raised. Wow. Okay. But that's all I got. I believe.
Cool.
Oh. Do you know who that Simone, the gymnast Simone Biles?
Yep.
She created a new move, a couple new moves over her floor exercise. She does a triple double. Triple double. They just now doing triples. Now she puts a double in it too. Double somersault. Double twist. Go online, you can see her do it. It's incredible. Okay. Okay, I will read totally mine, if it's okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. And I did some maintenance on my phone, so I should have no problems with it tonight. I hope. Took a gigabyte of stuff out. Okay. I'm looking for. You know, I got two front page picks and I didn't even know it.
Well, congrats.
And just my stuff gets buried so quickly.
You know, Hatter, it just so happens that if you made a habit out of checking in your inbox, you would know things like that. Just saying.
There we go. And that's it, too. Being on the phone also tends to hide things. I don't have access to some things, so I got to get that fixed. But so I've been saying that for over a year now, huh? About 2 weeks. Okay, this is a word bag and picture prompt. I'm proud of myself, so I might remind everybody that I did do that today. Did you post it or should I?
I'm headed there.
I've got it here. Oh, you do have it there? Okay.
In a half a second, it'll be there. Just give me 1 second.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I just can't find the damn chat room. What the heck? Here we go. Okay, I'm putting it on the wall now. And
I got you. Oh, no, I didn't get it. Oh, okay.
Aha, I beat you.
Okay. It's called Counting Down Reasons That Drives Me Insane. And that's a cool picture, and you got to blow it up and look at it real deep. It was like this.
Yep.
To find my way here, I had to go there, walking backwards while on the run, reaching from those prison walls, seeking shelter from the sun. Curled back lilacs with marshmallow clouds, painted by numbers, dreaming out loud. Waterlogged pebbles skipping the pond, praying in showers, so hope is not gone. Red scarlet slashes, tickling pink, grasshopper lanterns, giving a wink. Words in a bottle under marmalade skies, flying downstream on red dragonflies. Circling echoes, repeating your name, counting down reasons that drives me insane. And I got 12 words in there, and yeah, proud of myself.
Way cool.
Wow, that was cool.
go ahead, Violet. Please comment.
I liked it. And this picture is really cool. It's really, like, industrial to me, but then there's butterflies, so it's like peaceful at the same time. But I like how you said waterlogged pebbles skipping the pond, praying in shadows, all hope is not gone. It's like this picture is, like, death, and I picture you just, like, hiding in a corner and just, like, praying that new life will be created or something. I really like this. It was good.
Yeah, I feel like falling. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Great comment. Yeah, I like the waterlogged pebbles skipping the pond, praying in shadows, all hope is not gone. Red scarlet ashes, tickling pink grasshopper lanterns, giving a wink. You got like a bit of whimsy there in with the ups and downs. And did you notice that the face is actually a bloody skull? I mean, the picture's wicked. I was hoping people would get all kinds of things. If you look, see the hand in the center?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now look straight above it, and you'll see if you look at it close, there's the eyes and, well, the eye cavities from the skull. And it's sort of dripping blood down by the hands, and then there's the butterflies to the left on fire, and different things catching the singes. It's like all kinds of stuff, and you really went all awesome. Words in a bottle, under marmalade skies, flying downstream on red dragonflies. Great visual, Hatter.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I look deep into that. There's images and outlines of characters Like there's one, if you look real, it's up in the left corner. You have to see the outline of it. You see there, there's one on the, but the building's in the back. There's down in the, towards the left, and then of course on the right, you see the concrete buildings and then the windows. So it's like a, some kind of factory or, but yeah, a lot of things are going on in this picture. If you really take, blow it up and take a look at it, I've got the feeling of falling and prison. Yeah, cool. Oh, I didn't see the
I'll put mine on the board to read, but before I do, I want you to say hi to Frank.
Hiya, Frank.
Hello there, my friend.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing all right, my friends. I just thought I'd stop by for a bit and join you. I don't know who else is on. I know I heard Deb's voice, so I know it's Hatter and Deb.
It's me and
else,
Hatter and
but,
Violet and yourself right now.
All right, my friend. Violet, it's good to see you as well.
You too.
And I was just, we just finished Hatter's, and I'm about to read mine. Hatter was missing the days of when we had one photo and everybody wrote to it, and we could be amazed at all the different angles that were taken and stuff like that. So,
or the same.
Yeah, so that's why we have the one. So let's give this one a try. It's called Inside the Colors from My Nightmare. Here we go. Chaos bleeds crimson inside of me, with thick pools drowning butterflies, soaked by plasma as red cascades. Body temperatures trigger to rise. The heated flesh shakes and quakes, then red climbs up the thermometer, and sangria flames stain nightmares. With the turquoise avalanche of color, it fries to ashes with the dogwood trees. Hot topaz ember hieroglyphics scatter, singeing the chrysanthemum blooms that blacken the orchid once sapphire. Arms flail, reaching up for firecrackers as feet stand at the dark intersection of ebony crossroads, sinking into mud that slingers pack over the dandelions, stopping them in moist brown topsoil. Sprouting back from the root excavations, bursting from the dirt, shining yellows, every blossom bud dots the grass, mixed in with patches of green clover, gnawed on by bunnies that pass. Shredded as they hop down the field by the shards as the sky rains glass. Eyes with no light weep in shadows, leaving wet salt markings, liquid trails. Teardrops waterlogged my eyelashes, dripping aches as brain's voice wails in sing-song tones mixed with laughs, hissing at me under ornamental veils. Just as the flaming fingers reach for me, burning scarlet pathways to the skin, tangerine sunshine breaks my sleep. Lids lift, pulling the blanket to my chin. End poem. And I use 24 word bank words.
I was going to say that was more than 12. That's over. Violet, what did you think of the verse?
That was awesome. It was very passionate. That you wrote it. Yeah, I love all the colors. I love the words that we got to use. I like how you said body temperatures triggered to rise. That is like so descriptive of this photo, like the flames just engulfing this hand and the city. Yeah, you really use these words amazingly, and it all goes together like beautifully. Good job.
Thank you, Violet.
Thank you. And Frank,
I have to say the same thing. I mean, there's one thing, Deb is sensational, is bringing such beauty in the usage of the word bank, you know, whether it's dark words or whether it's words of bright colors there. you know, she does a fantastic job of using these metaphorical words here, the word bank. I just thought this film was very, very fascinating from the beginning. You brought the chaos bleeds crimson inside of me. I mean, there's so much visual effects here in this poem here. You know, the whole notion of that prompt there being, you know, just captured by this poem here really makes the prompt even much more vivid. And this is what I sense here. I love them. I would say my favorite lines are, eyes of no light sweep in shuttles, leaving wet salt marks and liquid trails. Wow, and teardrops water along my, and this is just dripping and it exudes with just a wonderful, wonderful display of creative writing at its best. It's a fantastic poem, and Deb always has that note, that way, that ability to just bring us terrific writes.
Yes, she does. I used to accuse her of not being able to write anything that didn't have a sensual flavor in it.
Can't help it. But if you take a look on the chat, oh, and thank you, Frank. But if you take a look on the chat wall, it gave me an excuse to share this. The black orchid from my poem is really a real thing, and it's stunningly beautiful, and I put one on the board.
Wow.
I don't know why it's not called a purple or periwinkle. It's a black orchid, but look at it. Oh, my goodness.
I've seen white ones like that, but that one's really pretty.
I love it.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Wow.
Isn't it gorgeous, Hatter?
It is. Wow. Yeah, orchids are amazing flowers. There's like a thousand different species of them.
Not easy to take care of either. I haven't been able to successfully do so yet. What a bummer.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it now. I wasn't able to see it. That's beautiful.
Isn't it awesome?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
By all means. Are they yours, or is it something that you, I'm not certain, I didn't hear the first part. Are these something that you plant in a garden, or is this something that you, I wasn't certain what you said before about,
well,
is it something that you've done? Go ahead.
That is actually a photo of a wedding, but the orchid comes from a bulb, and
yeah,
if you water it a little too much, the bulb gets soft and it dies, and if you don't water it enough, the bulb dries out and it dies. It's what do they call that when it comes back every year? Perennial.
Yeah, I would say so.
It's like an Easter flower that pops out every year.
Yeah.
And I just think it's an incredibly beautiful, one of my favorites. I mean, I'm big on wanting to keep the plant in a pot or a display or in a garden rather than picking them and then watching them dry out and die on the dining room table. I would rather have the actual plant. But as I said, I can't. Don't give me an orchid.
My mom,
I'm an orchid killer.
My mom insisted on live mums because they were easier, sturdy plant. You can get them live, and she'd go plant them out in the garden.
Oh, I have a mega green thumb. I could surround the place with plants and do just fine, but I cannot. I don't know what it is with orchids. Like my friend Dawn, she has a sunroom, and every window has orchids by it, and they're stunning, but I can't even grow one. So jealous. But I can grow everything else. I know which ones to snip a piece off and stick in the water so it sprouts, and you can make a new plant, the whole nine yards, but I cannot, for the life of me, keep a orchid alive.
Boo-hoo. I had a rather good surprise when I bought my little brother's house down in downtown Sac, And when I did, I came down, he had left a big pot, sort of an expensive-looking pot out on the by the front porch. So I started watering it just to see what it was, and the plant started growing. It got to where it would grow, I mean, the base of it, the leaves, I didn't recognize it. It seemed healthy and everything, and nice, full leaves. Then it started, the flowers started rising up out of it. This thing grew at least 4 to 6 inches a day, the stem, and it was huge. The stem was stuck,
wow.
And it flowered into these absolutely huge pink with sort of a black stripe in them and yellow flowers. I looked for, there's some exotic flower. I'd have to try to see if I could find it again. But the thing ended up being about 6 feet tall. Very sort of expensive.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't have any idea what the hell it was. But I never seen something grow that fast. So for asparagus, okay, I can think of. But yeah, well, we didn't write even close to what each other. So that's not right or wrong, but just saying. Frank, did you bring something?
I really like when you say that.
Are you in a hurry, Frank? You got time issues or?
No, I can. I mean, I can stay on until nine something. I'll tell you, and if something comes up before that, but I can stay until
okay.
About nine something.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
go ahead and do.
I mean, Pee Wee Herman.
No, go ahead and do her
Pee-wee
poem.
Herman
I mean, I don't want to. I would never really go before someone who had called in before I would. I would never do that.
I mean, even if I was in a
rush.
I was mentioned. I just gotta say, Pee Wee Herman and Mrs. Nemesis are listed. At least Steve
is. Yeah, I saw that over there. Yes.
Yeah.
So that means that he's around the corner there.
Yeah, maybe we do have one from him, right? Every time I turn it on.
We do. Yes, we have a recording from him, and we have a recording from his wife as well.
His wife, Mrs. Nemesis. Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Nemesis, yes. And on the board, we have Violet's poem.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't we do the Andrikes, the Andorians, and then the Violets. Is that okay?
We can do that. Let me go get a link.
Okay, thank you. What's the weather like in Texas there, Frank?
Oh, I would say it was supposed to be raining. Actually, I'm looking at the telly right now. We have an alert going on. So usually where I'm at here, we do tend to get some rough storms here, and that's just part of what you have to bear when you come out. And, you know, when I moved out here, so it was I had an idea, but it's just, you know, it's part of, you know, when you move out to some place, you know, like where you're at as well. I mean, you have to bear the earthquakes over there in California, no?
I think in my lifetime I've felt maybe three small tremors in my, that's all I've ever, we've had plenty of them, but I think I've only felt maybe three in my lifetime living in California. But yeah, you're at the beginning of Tornado Alley. That's where it all comes from.
Yeah, well, we've got to worry about, I'm by as well, up by the Gulf, so I've got to worry about as well as, what do you call these, not tsunamis,
hurricane.
What's the name? Yeah, hurricane, that's the thing.
Hurricane,
so,
sure.
So that's the thing,
yeah.
I have to work, because I commute back and forth from one place to another, and there is a period of times where I do worry a bit about going out there and, you know, knowing that there's a, you know, this is potential season now for the hurricane. So we'll see what happens, my friend. But I think I would say Louisiana's got the most, I would say Louisiana last year has been hit more over there with Crystal's actually. I mean, her state's been hit more than we over here.
Yeah, it was the beginning of the 20th century, 1901, I think it was, Galveston got hit, slammed, and almost wiped off the map. If it would have been populated and like it is today, it would have been a total disaster. But back then, it was a small port.
I heard that story. I heard about that story there.
I
think when you come out, I mean, anyone who moves out here or comes out to live in the state here knows really the story to some extent of what happened there in Galveston there. So there are some haunting reminders still there. I mean, even after what 100 and something years, I mean, there's no way of stopping the hurricanes. You know, you put out there the sandbags out there and prepare yourself as much as you can, but. Mother Nature will always win. You'll never be able to beat Mother Nature. No matter how much you stock, no matter how many walls you build, how much sand you pour, you'll never beat her. Yeah. You just have to ride the storm.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I got an SEC joke. SEC, that's the Southeastern Conference Collegiate Sports, which Texas and Oklahoma is in. So you know why it's so windy in Texas?
Oh, go ahead. Are you saying a joke? I'm not sure. I didn't hear what you said before.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know why it's so windy in Texas?
I would think it's go ahead. I would think it's because of the chill. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's because Oklahoma sucks.
There we go.
You can interchange any college team in it's a college rivalry joke.
But I would think that lately I've been seeing, I mean, lately from what I understand, Oklahoma and Texas are pretty much on the same level, no, on sports and that, except on basketball, because I know Texas did much better, if I'm not mistaken, there in the NCAA, no? And Oklahoma did not qualify, no?
Well, Texas, you got Baylor, Rice, Southern Methodist, plus the Longhorns, Texas Christian, Texas A&M. Longhorns haven't had a decent, but they should have a better team.
Yeah, I know Baylor.
Texas Christian's been the power.
Baylor won. I believe it was Baylor won. Baylor was the one who won the tournament there. I think they beat Gonzaga.
Yeah.
From what I've read, because I didn't see the game because I was busy doing something else, and then when I realized I changed it, the telly was already over. So I heard that and I saw that the result there. But there's a lot. I mean, Texas is a big state. I mean, it has its good and bad things. It's a very expensive state, I would say. Perhaps not to California, but. Perhaps there's some out there who live in the Midwest. Midwest, I guess. I'm not saying it's cheapest to live out there, but from what I hear, that there is certain parts. Well, that happens in all countries, I think. There's certain areas where you have, better life, better economics and so be it. But, there's always going to be a good and bad thing of everything.
Sure. A million people moved out of California and went to Texas.
Or they go to Florida, from what I understand. A lot of these people go up to Florida as well. I don't blame them. The thing here is, once you get to the center part of Texas and you go lower, just like Florida, you're not going to deal much with cold. You go with a casual, maybe perhaps a bizarre event of snow here or chilling cold. You're really going to be in a stable weather, and you're not going to really see much of terrible weather unless you get a hurricane or you get a tornado. But it's always one of these, or a bad storm. It's always one of these things that can happen. But for the most part, most of the days here, you'll get some humidity. You have to bear with humidity. You have to bear with summer temperatures. Or here, and I would say by March, you're basically almost in summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's that trough between the Rocky Mountains and the Sierra.
What's the temperature over there where you're at?
It was 103 yesterday and 95 today.
Oh, wow. So you were much hotter than we. Here was only I think it got up to 88, I think it was.
Yeah, global warming. You knew it was coming.
Where is Violet? Where are you? If I can ask, where are you at? I'm not going to ask what city you're at, but what state are you in?
Okay.
If I can ask.
I'm in California too, but I'm by the beach. I'm in Orange County.
Orange County. Is that by LA?
Yeah,
it's like an hour south.
Yeah. I've only been once to California. Actually, no, I've been twice to California. And once was over by, it was in LA. I went to LA Bakersfield. I went to San Fran. So that's the only area I know of California. I don't know much beyond. I passed through Sacramento, so I've been to Sacramento, but I don't know. San Diego, I don't know. And I would say perhaps other Anaheim, I don't know. I mean, there's some other big cities. California has big cities. I mean, Texas
as
well, but.
Well, I'm right out of Sacramento.
Oh, are you?
Northeast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the both of you have the same weather. Are you both coincide with the weather where you're at, the Violet, and where you're at,
We could have drastic different weather.
Yeah. Sacramento's a lot hotter, no? I went there one time and it was steaming hot.
We're in Sacramento Valley and we're between two mountain ranges, the Diablo Range and the Sierras. And from Redding up north down through the valley, it can get pretty hot, real hot.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget the experience I had there when I went there. It was gloomy and 110. And I'm used to that, but I mean, the thing is that it was dry, but I'm used to that as well.
It's dry.
I'm used to that. But the thing was that there wasn't that many trees, and that's the thing I'm used to as well.
We're known as a city of trees.
Yeah, well, the area. That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Well, there are places up north. A little north of us is a little barren.
So what is the hour over there?
I'm sorry?
What time is it? I always get confused, the West Coast hours, because when I do, when I'm doing over there, the cafe, I'm always a bit confused. Are you 2 hours behind Central Time? Because I'm Central Time. I'm 8:43 where I'm at. Okay,
it's,
so you're 6:43, okay.
Yes,
all right,
yeah.
I got it now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We have sound card for. Are we playing K's first?
Yeah.
Violet, I think it's.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Cool. Anytime.
Who's going?
Yeah. Can we press the button?
Yep.
Brief pass in Amex intersections, the necklace worn and dogwood pruning by Kay. Cast iron certainty at the end of the day stands of integrity. Wash the shoestring custom and practice. Wind in your way in foot slogan. Centerpieces the excavation. Making short work of outstripping. Silence in the seam flanked by within the bounds of. Equidistant between two points, and straddling the fence, run of the mill, fair Midland, blanketed sackcloth and ashes, bog standard lanterns, chrysanthemums, waterlogged in the filaments, white heat single spark, and the brass tack firecrackers, be economical for blades, a get up and go, as the toughness of a hard graft spirit, as dandelions, coda, and anvil cores, end poem.
Yeah. Violet, what did you think of the word bank?
I liked it a lot. It went very swimmingly, like it all flowed together and reminded me of like nature and when you sit out and how peaceful it is. It was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. And Frank?
Well, this is... I'm always amazed by Kay's writing. You know, there is so much depth to these metaphors here. You know, you look at a prompt, like in particular the one we have, and it goes many ways. I mean, I went to a different way, and I'm certain others as well perhaps interpret it differently as well. That's the beauty about a prompt there. You know, sometimes prompts are very, you know, very, you know, direct, or very straightforward, that you there is not much you can do because it's there. But sometimes, you know, a prompt like this just has so much visuals, so much images there, that you can go many ways. And I do like the way she just brings in the metaphors here. And it's a tapestry enriched of metaphors here. I don't know exactly which one to choose, but I would say the one of Chrysanthemum's waterlogue and the filaments, white heats a single spark. Wow. I mean, this is just powerful writing. It's very creative. And she has a wonderful, illustrious pin there. And I like that Indian there, as dandelions, coda, and anvil, of course. I don't even, I'm not going to lie, I've not heard, I mean, I've not come across a poem with the usage of anvil, and God knows how long with that. So she's always, and I noticed with Stephen as well lately, Stephen has brought some pieces in there with excellent usage of lexicon, of words, you know, that you won't perhaps see much, you know, displayed in other poems and with other poets or poetesses, but they have just an excellent scheme there, an excellent usage of these words there that just fall in, they fit in like the shoe. And I thought this was just...
When the poets evolved into where Kay is at, the metaphors, the abstract, and the cryptic lines, and being a wizard of words, we say that we're allowed to say that she's showing off now and then, how she does things.
Well, you said it, not me.
it's a compliment. Believe me, it's a compliment.
it's more of a jealousy. This poem... This is very creative type of writing. It's not. I mean, you might think it's abstract to some extent, but it does take the creativity aspect there. You have to always remember that it's being creative, and I always distinguish being creative and trying to impress. And I don't think Kay does that. I think Kay, well, Stephen, they're very creative, and she consistent. If you look at her poems, you know, she is consistent in her writing, and you will tell the difference there. She is very creative, and Stephen as well. They're very creative writers, and that's how I look at it. When I'm in the pieces, I just admire the creativity because they're consistently doing it. I mean, it's not like once or twice. They are constantly doing it, and that's very admirable to do that, because I don't have the patience myself to write, to elaborate poems anymore. I don't have the time, you know, but I do admire those who have that creativity. I think we all have it.
Well,
it takes time to be able to just focus in it, consistently focus, you know, because, you know,
to use a word bank
exactly.
And be able to disguise the words in there, because sometimes word bank words stand out. They just do. I think a longer run-on, what I like the way Free is just a long run-on sentence. You know, just keep that plot going. And if you can, and I think when you don't know and you have to ask, is this a word bank? Then the poet's done a good job.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree.
Yeah. You know, when I chose this photo, I actually knew that Kay would be one of the poets to excel, because the photo is mega abstract, and then you take her brilliant phrasing that she always manages to come up with, and I don't think that you know, anybody could outdo her as far as the I don't think anybody else can come up with some of the coupling and phrasing that she does, and it's like every time, consistently, like Frank was saying,
that's the thing.
Just nails it. Yeah,
being consistent.
And for this, there were so many different aspects that she could put her brilliant imagery to use.
Deb, your poetry is par excellence as well, and you have your ability as well. And I think that's where we have to understand there. You know, we can look at a poem and say, well, this poem perhaps is there to impress, but no. But when you do it consistently, then you say, no, this is a gift. Well, I would say it's an ability. It's an ability because not everyone can do this consistently, and this is what I admire of her writing and Stephen's writing and Deb's writing in particular, because they bring in the elements of creativity, and that's what poetry is. That's the best of poetry, when you can be creative, whether it's lyrical form, whatever form you use, whether it's a lyrical form, whether it's a rhyming scheme, or whether it's a different structure format, to do it consistently, that's to applaud.
Yeah, you know, and we have a couple other poets, Crystal Hope, Pretty Bird, and Sky,
exactly.
Sky.
And then you have Blue writes, you know, you read Blue, and everyone thinks he's so abstract, and you can't really grasp it. But once you get to know Blue, and you know Blue, that he writes in this way, and this is his way of writing, then you become accustomed to that, and then you start to understand to a certain extent, you know,
that's
you appreciate, you know,
point.
Because he does it consistently as well.
That's a good point. Yeah, Stephen, they must, I wonder if they write together at times, or they find their own quiet time when they write. I haven't asked.
Well,
but Stephen.
I was guessing. I'd
do
both.
Them,
they have their quiet time, but then they also read to each other and discuss their poems as well as collaborating together. So it's like a total package there.
Yeah. That's an advantage. Write that poet. Write that poet. Well, I should say, write that poetry, Stephen. You know, that's a good way of getting a new nickname, Stephen Pee Wee. Just saying. Very good. Let's go ahead and.
Hold on, don't pick on that one. I accidentally put the one from Sweet's board up there. Let me grab the right link.
Oh, okay.
Luckily, Stephen caught me. So here we go. Thanks, Stephen. And here comes his poem, Hatter.
Okay, thank you.
Letting Go Denials Bring Pain and Rage by Stephen 76. Bubbles in ivory cartilage pop when twisted. Marrow foam leaks into sinew. Volume wheels down. Rubber vacuum suicide. Blanketed hands forcefully pulled apart. Fingertips trace contours of palms to knuckles to tips to air to dirt excavation 6 feet below the surface. Wetted metal shards monsoon. Whirlwinded, shredding waterlogged lungs, trudging through coagulated muscle, dangling chains, hooked red members, scorpion vexed. Crimson man sans skin demands entrance. Iron spiked necklace slashes back of hand. Blood engorges dead cobalt tissue. Switchblade fillets rat. Sad eyes fill with scarlet rage, like mercury in a vacuum glass tube, dipped in boiling liquid steel. End poem.
Yeah, many parts of the rat are edible, huh? Such blade fillets, rat, sad eyes. Sort of a dark. Trudging through coagulated muscle, dangling chains, hooked red members, scorpion vexed. See that long run-on sentence. I love that in a free verse. I think, like I said before, they say there's no structure in free verse. There shouldn't be. I disagree. I think it needs to flow. It needs to have something to flow. If you chop it up, it's a journal entry. Violet, what do you think?
This one is really good. It kind of reminded me, like, if war was going on, like Armageddon or, like, back in the 1600s, and it has, like, a dark essence. Yeah, it reminded me, like, of night fighting. I really liked it.
Yeah, it, when I write free verse, I tend to overdo the metaphor sometimes, and I'll lose my track of where I wanted to go. So it's, I think it rarely is what I want it to read like if I do free by the time I end it, but that's just me.
Yeah, I Frank. Do that
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Frank. First of all, I just love the imagery displayed here. You know, the narrative he brought to this piece here was very palpable. I mean, he starts and he uses as we were talking about before, just how Kay's writing. Stephen, you can tell here as well, just how creative he is. You know, he brings the usage of the word banks, but he brings he seems to be, he's a master as well as a usage of metaphors there. You know, I just love the line there in the beginning, the bubbles and ivory cartilage pop and twisted, marrow from leaks into sinew, violin wheels down, rubber vacuum suicide. Wow, this poem here has just got some very vivid imagery there, and he did an excellent job here of not only using word bank choices there, but also bringing, you know, the metaphors here, you know, because they're very vivid there. I like the switchblade fillet's wrap. I mean, it almost seems that I thought of a bit of Escape from New York as well, a sense of just being in, you know, he just brought the prop alive, you know. It almost seemed like a scene here I would say from Escape from New York. I mean, there is perhaps I'm wrong with that, but I mean, that's what conjured in my mind. And this poem really made it was very deep, very deep.
No, he does disguise the word bank words in it, and that's a perfect example. I love the volume wheels down, rubber vacuum suicide, blanketed hands forcefully pulled apart, fingertips trace contours of palms. He does that trick of getting rid of the small words, which a lot of poets suggest to do. Get rid of the small words. I'm terrible at that. I leave my small words in because I'm a rhymer. I need those little words.
But I have to say that it does. You know, what makes a poem something that really relates to, you know, when somebody reads, you know, we poetry write, but then we also read poetry. And as, you know, as someone who reads poetry, because this is what I do on these shows as well, I can appreciate and admire really the time and effort and the creativity that's really spent on, spent on these pieces here. You know, people, you know, you have an excellent scheme there. It's impeccable, your rhyming scheme there. And Stephen has his excellent, impeccable usage of metaphors. I mean, every one of us has something there, you know, that's all, in the end, it's part of our creativity. And that's what makes, these shows very, very entertaining and very interesting and fascinating, because everyone brings, perhaps, you know, we might write about the same prompt by tonight, but we are seeing different interpretations.
Yeah, I've done that with picture prompts before, where I'll start one night, and I'll come back the next day and have a total different angle that I end up writing to. I see Stephen asks the question, is it too abstract? No.
Too abstract.
No. All right.
I wouldn't say, I would agree with you, because the prompt itself, it lent to that, to the visuals, to the metaphors. I mean, there was a lot in that prompt there. My poem was completely had some elements of what's been mentioned in other poems, but I got another vibe was different to some extent. But mine is somewhat, you know, it's not so much different than Stephen, perhaps different than the others, but it's just a thing, you know. You know that prompt there will lend you to be able to just open up the can of worms and write.
Yeah.
I think it was brilliant how Stevens is written in letter form too.
Kind
of clever. I like what he did with it. Now listen, Hatter, I just wanted to give you an update because I know you have the traumatic brain injury show as well tonight. We have Violet's poem, we have Frank's poem, and we have Budo's poem, and then we can shut down so you can get ready for Kim's program. So
okay.
If Violet would read for us, that would be great.
Yeah.
I have two more after that.
I see we're at the halfway point. For anybody just joining us, you stumbled across a team of voices radio. We're a poetry site. Share our work on the radio, Blog Talk Radio. We're part of allpoetry.com or a group inside of All Poetry. It's free to join. If you're interested, come knock on the door. Deb will let you in. Like I said, free to join. You come share your work. Come meet the other poets, the hosts. And it's 7:01 on the Pacific Coast. Very good.
Okay, so we have Violet's on the board. Take us away, dear heart.
Okay. Life and death. Between life and death, I crawl out of my second womb, wiping the red blood from my chin. Pebbles fall off me as I reach farther and farther from my old self, running as fast as I can away from the crimson-stained streets, just me and my denim jeans. My body reeks. Hands pruned as avalanche of destruction and pain I leave behind me, silent. Finally, I'm at a crossroads. Aquamarine skies, blue butterflies fly. I see the pearly gates just up ahead, my old self dead. I've made it to my peace, lilac lilies, white geese. Joy fills my heart, ready to make a new start. End poem.
Are you a rhymer by cursed rhymer like I am? Do you rhyme all the time?
I try to rhyme. I love rhyming, but I don't know if I'm really that good at it.
There's little tricks to rhyme. Is you know, you have to increase your word, the well that you pull rhyming words out of, and a way to do that is to break up your lines to end your rhyming lines. With different, it's like the Elizabethan, like Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
You can take the last half and say it first. It just increases the words you can rhyme with. I think that's a good trick if you're a rhymer. Don't get frustrated.
Yeah.
It's just little things you can do. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Hands pruned and others. You know, I got a lot of parallel, it sort of sounded like Stevens with that same kind of a feel to it. Finally, I'm at the crossroads. Go ahead, Deb.
I like that Life and Death is in the title of her poem, and it's in the title of the art as well, so I thought that was a nice touch to add. And then she starts with Between Life and Death, which is the actual title.
Yeah.
But hands pruned, an avalanche of destruction and pain I leave behind me. Hands pruned. I mean, you can picture it. Your visuals in this were really great, and I see the pearly gates just up ahead. My old self dead. I've made it to my peace, which brings in like the full circle from the sadness is there, crawling from the womb to the body that reeks and has pruned hands, and then back to dead and the lilacs and lilies. I think that you did a really great job with this from start to finish,
Thank
Violet.
You.
I'm glad you brought it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've used that term. I used severed hands in several rites. Severed hands meaning I'm unable to write or refuse to write or cannot write what you're asking. It's a powerful visual. Frank, what do you think?
Well, to me, this was a wonderful illustration of life and death. I enjoy the metaphorical and metaphysical feel to the poem. It's what I wrote. But in a sense, she says so much in very few words here. I mean, this is not a lengthy poem at all. Yet she describes really a transient period of what is life and death, almost to a spiritual effect of rebirth there. So this poem was very deep there. It's philosophical as well. I didn't add that on the comment there, but I will. I'm at it now. You did a great job there, you know, providing just that imagery there of life and death, and of course of just that notion there of peeling off your skin there, you know, the old skin. It's almost like you're a snake there, just peeling off his skin, and waiting for new skin to, so this is just this has this elements there of a philosophy. There's some philosophy in this piece here, so I really did enjoy that as well. Shedding the skin, that's the word.
Yeah, I see the line. I see the pearly gates just ahead. If you, when you walk out, I'll be holding the sign. I don't get to go. Yeah. I get to hold the sign.
Yeah. We always have our minds to venture with power.
Very good.
No one can take away that.
Yeah. Yeah, the process we all go through to create these poems is different. Of course, is different to everybody else. But it does fascinate me how different we are in how we create a poetry piece. I used to ask a lot of questions on poets on how they did things, and it was to the fact, well, they didn't know the answer because the question I was asking was sort of a really abstract, you can't pin down how you do it. Well, I sit down and write, but no, it's the process of creating the metaphors and blending one into the other, introducing one to accent the your hook line, for example. If you've got a couple of hook lines in your, you want to introduce it rather than just blurt it out, I think. I mean, that's the way I do it. Hook lines are very important to hang on to. The first line, you want to keep the reader wanting to read more. Your end line can be just as important because you want them to remember. So placing your power lines, your power words are just as important. And everybody, like I said, everybody's got their own way of doing it.
If I ask
a stupid question now and then, that's where it's coming from.
I think we all, if I could say one quick thing, we all have, abilities here. I think sometimes what happens is whether or not we choose to use them. And that at times, nowadays it's difficult because people don't have time to write. I don't write really the technical poems anymore, the great epic poems anymore, because I don't really have, not just because I don't have time, I just don't really get motivated anymore to write those pieces there. So I write more simplistic pieces there.
Yeah, you have that old school flavor in some of your writes. And I mean it as a compliment. I mean, when I say old school,
Unfortunately, it stuck on me there, the drama there of doing studio work as well. But I will say briefly, I do prefer doing, now I'm doing these SoundClouds, create storylines, in taking that, using that part of my creativity, what I used to do before, when I used to be more of writing epic poems. Now I channel that into writing poetry, of narratives, and just providing entertainment.
That's what's good about the contest. It makes you get out of your comfort zone. It's a good tool to have and concentrate on getting out of here. Because when I first started writing, it was all sorrowful, you know, heartache, you know, that kind of thing. And the contests was what sort of broke me out of that and sort of widened my view of how to write things and how to reach down and put a feeling into words, you know. It's like anything else. And when you mention the SoundCloud, you're right. To have the author, the poet that wrote it, read it is so important, because if we read it cold, we're going to miss something. We're going to miss where you wanted it accent, where you wanted it slowed down, where you wanted it, you know, aggressive reading. It's best to have the author read their own. That's what we wanted people to kind of call in. But we understand the time zones. We have, 42 countries that listen to us now, Deb? Is it 42? Tell me that.
52.
I don't think I can name you 52 countries. But, the time zones and such. And that's what's good about the SoundCloud. They can record it. And we get to hear the voice. And I know some of my rights, other people who read it, they wouldn't get where I would want you to pause, slow down, speed up. Because there's a lot of places I would like to just skim over real fast so I don't dwell on something that I'm not real comfortable with or don't like. So I just sort of fly over it. But, very good. Very good. Let's see.
Sorry about that. The other phone died. I don't know if you were speaking to me, but I wasn't ignoring anybody on purpose. We have two left, and I was hoping that Frank would read them both. So, Frank, it's up to you whether you want
to
do yours before Buddha.
Do you have my SoundCloud?
Or yours?
Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay, I do. So click on. Do you mind reading Buddha after we do your SoundCloud?
Yes, I can do that one. I can do that.
Okay, well, here comes. Click on Frank's poem, you guys, and I'll push the SoundCloud.
Okay. Got it.
Amidst the toxicity of the hollow streets remains the lunation of a dead city of the mist, where the once buildings of towering skyscrapers are covered in the moss of gripping sapphire vines. The periwinkle sky seen is nothing more than the true deception of the shade of a blue moon in the population of people reduced then to the sable ashes of the perishing souls lost. Dandelions, honeysuckles, violets and the jasmines blossom before the coming of the great war, but the poisonous thorns of the drops of sangria prevailed over the sober faces of the few survivors. Drenched in the petals of the scarlet roses, the cobalt color of acid rain pours down as a haunting realization of the bitter cruelty of war and the dilapidated walls covered in crimson calligraphy. Through the rubble and destruction of the city, a lone hand of a man appears to be visible, and the fading hand starts to slowly emerge then from the odd shadow, a gasping breath in the sinister clutch of death. But if you look closer with your eyes and observe, you will see clearly the presence of butterflies before the unique color of death transforming into the winsome color of an inspiring hope to aspire.
Yeah, a little different from a little different than how you usually write. I would say this is directly to the picture prompt. Are you comfortable with? Do you like the picture prompts or the quotes or?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The prompts have worked well with me with Deb's show. But I do, I mean, quotes as well. I mean, I do prefer either one. It's not in particular a prompt or a quote. I have to have something to grasp on, you know, that has to be the thing. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, take time of myself there if I don't get at least somewhat inspired. So to get somewhat inspired, you have to start from a beginning. To start from the beginning, you have to have a prompt or a quote to begin with.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, sometimes you stare at the picture and it's just, I got nothing. That happened. And that's, you know, that's just who you are. And a lot of times, you know, you come back an hour later or the next day. Let me ask you, do you do a lot of contests, Frank?
Well, my friend, I get as much as, I do write for a lot of groups. I am in groups and a lot of other podcasts I do on AP. So I do write for, in particular with friends that I would say, I call them friends of mine. And you know, I will do contests or I'll write for the podcast as well. Like, for example, today I wrote for yours. You know, I was very busy, but I had to squeeze in 10 minutes to do the sound card there. And I only took one take. Usually I take a couple of takes. Because where I'm at, I have dogs here, so you can imagine what that would be. So I was just fortunate to squeeze that on the first time. But I enjoy both of them. I do as much as I can to help others, other groups, other poets, and other friends. I mean, I'm here to try to help each other, you know, and that's what I think most of us should do.
Yeah. How much of other people's work do you think inspires you, or you get that impresses you, or you can learn something from?
I'd have to say that. You know, the thing is, Hatter, I mean, I think at my stage of living, I don't know if I can get impressed enough to learn much. I mean, but I'm always willing to learn. But I've come across so much in my life where I've seen, you know, I've seen writing in all forms, as a playwright, as a short story writer, as a poet, I mean, as a philosopher. I mean, I've come across all forms of writing. I wouldn't say that I'm impressed in the sense of what I would learn, but I'm always appreciative of what others write. Okay. And I tell you one last thing, because I know time's running out, and I know it's getting late here too. I myself, if I can inspire someone just with myself, forget my voice, forget who I am, with what I write, anything that I write, that is an accomplishment for me.
Violet, do you do a lot of contests?
I've done one so far. I'm new to this whole site. It's probably my first week on here, but I just did one.
Okay.
Yeah.
How impressive is that, though, Hatter? She's been on the site for a week, and she's read here. She's read it, A Poetic Slice. She jumped right in with both feet, writing poetry and reading radio without hesitation. That's impressive. And Frank's poems. Came out really awesome. It's another one where I totally forgot that there was any kind of word bank involved at all. Actually, I had to go back and try to see if I could find some of them aside from Periwinkle, because, like, we all recognize that one.
Yeah, I used 10 of them.
But I mean, the presence of butterflies before the unique color of death transforms. I mean, wow, imagery and stuff in this one is impressive. I think I could even smell some of the flowers as you were listing them. I think this came out excellent. And the title, Amidst the Toxicity, is actually kind of brilliant because you took that chaotic picture and brought all the beautiful things out of it. So it was a unique take, and I think you did great. And I figured we have the last poem on the board, if you want to read that one for us too.
Yes. Yes, I thought you were going to say that you missed my laughter there. I was like, oh, it's not going to be tonight. I'll go ahead and do this piece. Well, really quickly, Deb, I did add the periwinkle and butterflies for you.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
All right, this is Budo's piece. It's called EOD, and it goes like this. A dereliction in marked contrast. When end of day comes its violet axe to a surreal swirl of aquamarine, you. Amber waves, the firecracker mends, lantern a carousel of suited whispers, hieroglyphic, hieroglyphic hand motioning, rigid statistics and codes of conformity, foretelling faint filaments, a crossroads of embolic visages, burning through incense and dogwood, maiming the six senses and crimson tides that wash ashore, only to be cast off to nowhere. How the Holy Grail turns ashen when faith is lost in ornamental reveries, as ill-inked ebony calligraphy wraps, reveal the flaws through the cracks and realities teasing. End of days, indeed. End of poem.
Yeah, I tried to figure out on my, when I was writing it, to get the calligraphy. To get the calligraphy in my right, it didn't happen. But actually, two of them. You got the two of you, Frank. You did, and and Vera. Good job. Violet, what did you think about Budo's? Budo's.
Go ahead, Violet.
I thought this one was really spectacular. It really connects to the image, and it was really philosophical, and I can tell you used your imagination with all how you described everything. It was amazing.
Yeah, he's sort of the musician of the group. Everything I see it's a musical and most everything he does now. Of course, I'm looking for it, too. But, yeah, good job. Frank, you read it. What did you think?
I thought it was a remarkable write. It had a great usage of the word bank, and of course, this is another display of creativity. You know, to me, Budo, you know, I haven't heard any of his songs lately, so I don't know if that's a bad thing, but I know that he's been writing a hell of a lot of poetry lately that I've seen more, and it does. I'm glad for him as well, because, you know, at times when we write one particular way, we get stereotypes unwittingly, you know, and perhaps, you know, Budo says, you know, I'm just not only a lyricist or a singer, but I'm also a poet here and another type of writer as well. And so, you know, he's bringing lately, I mean, I notice this consistently now for almost several months now that he's writing superb poetry, and it really just shows his heightened creativity, his level of awareness there, because you have to. There's another thing that's missing there, consciousness. You know, you have to have a little bit of that to be able to be, you know, to write this type of poetry. And saying that, I'm gonna have to go now, my friends.
Okay, all right, Frank. Thanks.
Yeah, take care, my friends. All right, my friends.
Bye.
Take care, Deb.
Thanks.
Take care, Violet.
Thanks for calling in. Beautiful.
Cool. Oh, my
thanks
pleasure. Take care.
Night.
Always a pleasure, Deb. Love and respect. Take care.
Right.
Back at you.
Yeah,
poem.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, please.
No, I was just. I was going to say, I think he did a fantastic job with this, and I really, really love this stanza. Hieroglyphic hand, monitoring rigid statistics and codes of conformity for telling feigned filaments, a crossroad of embolic visages. I don't know, especially hieroglyphics hand. There's something about that. I love it. It's the center of the picture, and it's the center of his poem, that hieroglyphics hand. What a brilliant phrase. Excellent use of the word bank by everybody. And it's funny that I'm glad you got me to do this, Hatter, because it was really cool to see how many directions that one photo took, regardless of whether the word bank is just a little extra, you know, but the direction that we all seem to zero in on something in that photo and then just run with it, which is actually quite a brilliant thing. So we'll have to do this again another time on one of the makeup shows, because, like, I mean, mine are already set up all the way into July at the moment, but we could turn around and do some of them. Huh?
Yeah. We can use mine now and then.
Yeah, well,
The song that Ludo had written for Lady A, I heard it. I thought it was outstanding, but I tell you what, it grows on you. It gets better and better each time I hear it. We heard it the other night. I can't remember which night that was, but I'm gonna have to get a copy of it so I can play it down there. Great musician, and the way he writes, it's very lyrical. When he pieces the words together, he pieces the words together, and it's got a flavor to it, almost a cadence. He's one that I'd love to understand how he writes his procedures, but you know.
Yeah, the song that he shared the other night is one of my favorites. It was, like, really excellent. He's so good at putting his poetry to music and then singing it, too. Talk about talented, you know?
Yeah, I hope I'm thinking of the right one. They did for the...
It had, like, a great beat to it, and he sang it beautifully. It was really a... brilliant piece.
Oh yeah, when he comes back to the lyrics and then gets to the chorus, the blend, the change is spot on. That's what attracts me to it. It's very good.
Yeah.
Speaking of Queen, there she is.
Let's take a moment to talk about the stuff that's coming up. For example, tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern is part two of Sweet Pea's three-part Once Upon a Time series. She has one, and then she has one again, and she has one again next week. She updated the photos. Some of the ones from before are still there, but I think they're ones that weren't written to yet. And then she added a bunch of amazing ones in there. So, grab a photo and take it on a once upon a time journey for Sweet. Again, 9 p.m. tomorrow. And then on Friday at 11 p.m., it is A Soft Place to Fall with Lady A, and she's covering a really interesting topic. I don't know if you guys saw it on the news just recently, that there was a, up in Canada, there was a burial, a mass burial found with 215 children inside. The history of the school is back from the 1890s and right up into the 1970s. So she put in a couple of articles in reference to that, and she's asking you to check out the articles and then write something to honor these poor children. They are Native American. And some of the stuff that they went through, it seems very horrifying. So it should be a really powerful show. And on Saturday Hatter Day, we are writing love letters to Lady A's Oceans, or Lady A, or however you want that to play out. But That should be interesting. Like, you could write it to her as if she was an ocean. That would be another way to do it. But it seems like it'll be really, really cool. And then I think Sunday. Is Sunday Hatter Music?
Sunday, the first Sunday of the, it's a music show.
Yeah. So you'll have to come up with a topic for us for that. And on Monday I have my own 3-part series going as well. It's called Lions and Tigers and Bears. And by the time the series is over, each poet will have written for a lion and a tiger and a bear. You missed one of them, Violet, but it's not too late to jump in. You just pick one of those animals, and then next month when I run the last part, you just pick one that you haven't used yet. But you just choose a photo and put your number on the board, and so I can take it off the list so nobody else writes for it. And that is at 10 o'clock on Monday. And I think it looks like that's everything, Hatter. So if you want to do your wrap-up and then get ready for Kim, and I have a few things to do before I head over to A Poetic Slice of Life, where they went live about 10 o'clock. Yeah, they went live at 10 o'clock. And tonight they have a new series where Kay finds this word that you probably hadn't heard of, because this one I've never heard of, sonder, like yonder, but with an S. And the definition is the realization that each passerby has a life as vivid and complex as your own, sort of means that you finally realize that the world doesn't revolve around you type of word. So they're going live with that right now. So that should be very interesting. I finished mine, so I'll read for them. And on that note, I will hand it back to Hatter so he can wrap us up. And I meant it. It's really awesome that you're calling, and I hope you keep doing so. Sorry, Hatter.
Yeah, I'm gonna go in to a slice of life with you in just a second.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I want to thank you also, Violet, for showing up. Welcome to our shows, and I hope you enjoy the ride. We've got a lot of different hosts. It's rare to see somebody so new jumping right in, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I want to thank everybody for participating in it. Frank, for calling. We have Budo. Thank you for writing. We had who else did we have? Shoot, I can't remember.
Stephen and Kay.
Oh yeah,
that is. Or audios.
Yeah, Dorian, sure. Always appreciate that.
And Miss Violet, our new friend.
Miss Violet. Yeah. One day we'll put you on the spot, and usually I ask a bunch of questions for the new people that show up, but I'll spare you tonight, Violet.
Yeah, she hasn't been offered a chance to smash up the dishes yet either, Hatter. Just saying.
You know what? We could fucking do that.
Yeah, hand her a plate. Let her get out some of her
frustration. Violet, step up here. It might take me to the other mind. Can you get there before me, Deb?
Do what?
I can. Hatter's about to hand you a plate.
Throw it in this room over here. Just get it past the bar until it gets the wall. And throw a couple. There you go. Make it feel better. That a girl. Throw one more. Okay. Not the box. All right. Feel better.
Say something to that guy.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh my God.
You should feel better, right?
That's funny.
Oh, that was cool. All right, well,
thanks.
Great job, Hatter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will see you guys next time. If not sooner, later. That was it. You can't.
All right.
You don't have to go, but you can't stay here.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. And love and respect, everyone. Amazing show, amazing poetry, as always. The people we hang out with are so talented, I swear. And so just because I thought I had it, I'm a little bummed. I thought I had closing time. Oh, darn it. I wonder what I did with it. Anyway, what song would you like to go out with, Hatter?
Monsters. Another Shine Down.
Oh.
Since we've already did an education on them.
Perfect idea, and I love this song. Okay, here it comes.
Shine Down. My monsters are real.
Show tomorrow.
Okay.
Tell Tim I said hello.
I will.
All right. Night.
Good night.